morning, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, April 7th, 2007. Today you can expect mostly cloudy skies with highs around 65 degrees. Wind should be west-southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with sunny skies in the afternoon and highs reaching around 70 degrees. Tomorrow night will be generally clear with lows around 45 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, southwest winds 5 knots becoming south in the afternoon, wind waves 1 foot or less, and a west swell 3 to 7 feet at 13 seconds, along with scattered showers and areas of drizzle. Currently, the temperature here at the station is 57 degrees, and it's time for the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
Dave, it's so nice to see your smiling face out there.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No, you can see the smile gets broader every time. Does it have anything to do with a wonderful adventure you have during the week on the happy hour with Charlie?
How'd you guess?
I just had a funny feeling.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you guys sound great. Now, I've been getting a lot of kudos in the voicemail, in the comment line. Of course, one reason for that, the probable reason, is that people are not permitted to complain on the comment line. They're
good.
Only allowed to issue compliments, particularly about Kay or me. There have been a number of compliments.
That's better than death threats.
Right. Good. Well, I guess we're going to have a little... I think it could end up being a barn burner. I mean, you never know. I mean, sometimes the shows that you think are going to be the most exciting turn out to be the... biggest shows of all. But I don't think that's going to happen this time. Do you?
Nah.
Good, good, good. So let's start the program.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Hey. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. Got a couple of guests in the studio today. Neither of them are dullards. We got a topic today that the promo that's been running the last couple days says will curl your hair. We'll let you hear that promo one more time.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
You don't see many white people working for a living doing physical labor jobs these days. A major reason is that many have learned to use the system to sue for a living rather than work for a living. Lucky we have the immigrants, both legal and illegal, or no one would do the work, right? Well, guess what? Now the people who are doing most of the labor are getting smart and learning to use the system themselves. Coming your way this Saturday, a good, honest contractor who will tell you workman's comp stories that will curl your hair. Joining us will be a prominent local attorney, one of the good guys who will clue us in on the legal side of things. See how Don and now Juan laugh all the way to the bank on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Forever Exposing Sleaze Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Hey, Dave, you put the fanfare music in. I guess that's okay. Because we don't have anybody who's going to disagree, I don't think, today. So it's probably not even appropriate to have the crossfire anyhow, right? Yeah. That'll work. Permit me to introduce our guests in the studio today. Bob Sams is a prominent stucco contractor practicing in Santa Cruz County. I suppose you go out of the county, right, Bob?
Yes, greater Bay Area.
Yeah, and I met you because I saw your people working on Westcliff Drive in a very prominent place, and we started talking, and And you told me some stories that were pretty amazing. And I said, wow, what a great topic for this crazy radio show that I do on Saturday mornings. And you kindly agreed. I said, do you have the balls to go on? And you said, yes. Most people would say no, but you said yes. So I thank you for that.
If I was wise, I would have probably said no also. But I didn't know who you were at the time, and I was really frustrated.
Actually, I think you're going to be happy. And we're all going to feel good, I think, at the end of this program, because I think we will have done in our own little way, each of us, a public service, including the public into a really serious situation here out there. We also have a familiar voice, that of Dean Sutton. Just prove that you're Dean Sutton, Dave, and Dean, and not an imposter.
I am Dean Sutton. Good morning, MZ. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for being here.
And, Dean is the erstwhile host of the program Law of the Land here, which may or may not reappear on KSCO one of these days. However, Dean is one heck of an attorney. I know, take my word for it. Had personal experience, and I think the guy's the greatest, and so I thought that he would be really good to appear on the program with us. Now, when you learned about the topic, you said you might not be the best because workers' comp law is not one of your areas of specialty.
It is a specialty. It's not my specialty. There are guys that do just applicant work, represent the injured employees in claims, and there are people that work for insurance companies that do nothing but represent the interests of the employer, and that tends to be a really specialized area. But I am an employer. I pay workers' comp. I've handled a lot of situations for my clients who are businessmen, so I have some things to come in. I actually did some homework, and I'm here to learn. I don't want to hear what Bob has to say, because I hear all kinds of things. I want to know what's going on out there.
Oh, okay. So, Bob, educate us. That's putting you on the spot. Now, tell us some of your horror stories.
Okay, now.
Start, and then we'll invite callers.
I'm sure most of my stories are pretty much similar throughout the industry and through any employer. But one of my first issues is our SIG attacks that we pay each year at the renewal of our premium.
SIG.
SIG. C-I-G-A.
Okay. What does that stand for?
No, I don't exactly know what it is.
You just pay it because it's a tax.
It's an accessory tax that goes onto our premium. This year, it will cost me $500 a month. And what this is for?
A month?
A month. And what this insurance is for, this SIGA tax, is to cover employees that are hurt while they are working for uninsured contractors. Now, with me,
let me get this straight. You're paying for workers, for illegal workers working for illegitimate.
Well, it doesn't have to be an illegal worker.
Oh.
It's just a worker that is working for an unlicensed contractor, whether they're
a legal worker or an
or
illegal worker.
It doesn't make any difference.
But they're working for somebody who is contracting but has no business contracting because they're not licensed by the state.
Exactly.
And you have to pay for that.
All people that pay workman's comp insurance pays this, not just Bob Sams. It's on your.
Do I pay it?
You pay it. If you look at your premium when you pay at the beginning of the year.
You better be paying it, MZ. Employers do.
You'll find it. You pay it also. We all pay it. And I don't really understand that. I have a real difficult time with understanding why I have to pay
for somebody. People are so busy, just staying alive and making the payroll and this and that I guess a lot of times they don't even look at the bills, that they don't even look at the details of the bills, at least tax bills, and I guess I don't, or I wouldn't have asked that stupid question just a minute ago. Do I pay that tax?
Yeah. Well, I didn't look at it until 3 years ago when I was one day just sitting there, why is this extra?
And did you call?
I called, and that's when they told me exactly what it was for.
Okay, so go into more details. I'm sorry I jumped in. I should let you talk here. But you have to pay for illegal activities.
Exactly. And that part with the work, I do not understand. I have a very difficult time with many decisions that are made.
Does anybody out in our vast KSCO audience understand? It says Dave, who is our call screener and pilot in command, says, I was injured on a job working for an employer that had no insurance. This has caused a whole lot of problems, including the dissolution of a friendship. Dave, you got a microphone. You can chip in.
Yeah, that actually, the way he's talking about exactly happened to me. And it's kind of a bummer. And he was making plenty of money. He should have been paying his workers' comp insurance. I don't handle that part. All I did was work for him. And he didn't have the insurance. I got injured, and it turned out to be real ugly. I had to get a lawyer. I'm in the middle of doing that. And in the meantime, he was my friend. He had been a friend for, 10 years. And that went to hell after I had to do what I had to do. And I had no choice because, his unwillingness to take care of me showed me that I, as an employee, I wasn't worth hanging on to him, so I had to do what I had to do in interest of my family.
So you're not one of these people who goes around suing for a living, obviously.
No, actually.
I know that, because
right.
I know you. But,
right. So that's why I'm going to Cabrillo, trying to get into the nursing school. I'm almost into there, and in the meantime, doing this, trying to get the ball rolling. So that I don't have to plan, or I don't have to take advantage of the court system. I'm trying to do it on my own, but it's tough.
You really can't do it for you. You know, the promo would lead people to think that there are a lot of lazy people out there who just want to sue for a living instead of work for a living. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, the system is the system is horrible.
Well, Bob, have you had? Some sort of experience with that, or know some people who have?
With the land license? No.
No, I mean with people making false claims.
Yes. Definitely so, had firsthand experience at that.
Tell us about that. Talk to me about that.
Okay, last one. Oh, I've had many.
Okay.
I can just start with the last.
How long have you been in business, Bob?
I've been in 29 years.
Doing the same line of
trade, right. Uh-huh.
So you get guys who claim they're hurt, but they're really not? They're faking it, or is that what
you
mean?
Well, they claim the... This last one that happened last August, he had worked for another guy and supposedly had fallen off a roof a year earlier. Well, then he said something about it, so he went to the doctors on duty and went to a chiropractor for the month of July.
Yeah.
Then when he found out that they would not pay, we were on a job down in Paso Robles, and it was just a wall. He set up some scaffold, but the superintendent told him, don't get onto that. It will fall.
Okay.
He immediately climbed on it, fell about 2.5 feet on his behind.
Right.
Says, okay.
What, did now, he claim whiplash or something?
He claimed that he had shoulder injury.
Okay.
He fell on his butt, but he claimed he had a shoulder injury.
So what happened to the claim?
So he went to doctors on duty first.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him... Kept giving him disability slips. He said he fell on a pile of rocks, where luckily he did do it in front of a bunch of witnesses that they were able to tell him, no, there was no rocks there. He fell about 2.5 feet to his behind.
So he lied about his injury, lied about the accident. Right.
But he managed to stay on that until...
Excuse me, you say he got slips. He was given temporary disability payments. So he didn't have to go to work, and he got whatever he got. Was it 260-something a week? Or so?
I believe it was closer to 340.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So he managed to spend a little over $20,000 during this time. Well, 3 weeks ago, they finally got him to their doctor. To workman's comp doctor.
To your employer's insurance company, had the medical people, and he went to them. Go ahead.
He went to them, and they said that he had zero disability to go back to work. And then when all of this is going on, I'm finding out different things, that he was an illegal. They caught him going into Oregon, taking people up there to get driver's licenses, and they started deportation against him.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out as long as he had a lawsuit, that he would not be deported until that lawsuit was settled.
Okay.
So that's why he was trying to stay on the workman's comp.
Wow.
And then as soon as this settled, then he called and demanded his job back. But he had made a mistake of saying it to somebody else that got right back to us that I'll get him this next time. So I was able to call the workman's comp and find out through attorneys that I didn't have to hire him back.
Mm-hmm. What other kind of things are you mad about the workman's comp system?
Well, that was one issue, is that we had the witnesses at the time that it was a staged injury and that it wasn't taken care of immediately. It did take $20,000 or so, before it did come to.
Let me understand. You didn't have to pay another $20,000 out of pocket, right?
Well,
your workers' compensation. You're an honest man. You're doing it right. You had insurance, so their guys handle it, right? They're lawyers for you.
Yes, except in that, what you don't know is this time I'm at 82%.
Okay.
Now this
we should tell people what that means, real quick.
Well, my premium rate is a set standard by the industry.
Rating because of the kind of work that you do.
And then if you don't have any accidents and whatnot, they start giving you better rates.
Okay.
So right now I'm at 82%.
Because you had a claim.
I haven't had claims.
And guys, what this means is that for every hour of wages that you pay out, you have to pay out 82% of that into work.
No.
What does that mean?
It's, okay, like for example, a plaster under $22 an hour is almost $19 per hundred every you pay. And then at your premium at the end of the month, you add everything up, all the hours and the cost of the workman's compensation, and then you take that times 82%, and that's what you have to pay because you've had less accidents than the norm.
This is a jargon-encrusted world. Basically, the state goes and gives every business, every job, every trade, every profession a rating in terms of risk.
Sure.
Theoretically, I mean, I pay workers' comp, but you'd think the risk in a law office wouldn't be too great. You know, paper cuts and staplers, as opposed to coal miners or guys who...
I understand that.
All right, and they give a rating. And they're always expressed in terms of percentages, but they're not a percentage of anything. They're just sort of just relative numbers. And so I think what he's saying is his particular job, each guy gets a different rating, and then that's adjusted in terms of, what, claims history? Is that the way you'd
right.
say it? Yeah.
But where I'm talking about the phony claim and trying to get it settled quickly
right.
is about 5 years ago, I had a man stand under a mud board, which is where you put the cement.
Right.
He set it off center, stood there until it collapsed on him. Once it collapsed on him, he claimed a neck injury.
Yeah.
He stayed on the neck injury through a chiropractor for over a year. Then they said, okay, well, you got to come here. You don't have this neck injury. Then he claimed brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to stay on it for two more years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, the workman's comp insurance company paid for it. But they raised me. At that time, I was 72%.
This is 5 years ago, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
They raised me from 72% to 129%. For 3 years.
About 2002-ish, long in there, 2001
right.
or two. Okay.
Until just a couple of years ago.
That's when it was getting really bad.
That it finally ended, but they charged me. I went from 72% to 129%. Even though they paid for the injury, we really know who really paid for it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Indirectly, obviously, through your premiums.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupt you. So the first man who fell on his butt, he actually was evaluated, found not disabled, and said go away, and you didn't have to hire him anymore.
No.
Okay.
So that issue just finished. And then recently, in November, I had another guy that bumped his head,
mm-hmm.
and he's claiming brain damage, and they just sent a letter out stating that they put him on permanent disability.
So you think that's kind of a new in thing to claim injuries that don't show up on x-rays? Is that it?
Right.
Soft tissue.
Because they're offering, even though it's not as much money as it used to be, they're offering settlements quicker. So at least they are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that there are more people suing for a living these days? Ever increasing numbers of people who sue for a living?
I don't know whether it's increasing. You still have some great people out there that work for you that are very honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they get hurt, they try to come back the next day. But with the system that I don't understand is, like, I had a guy cut his head, had a couple of stitches last year. He was back to work the next day. For almost a year, they tried to send, the workman's comp would send letters stating he had to write to an attorney and for him to, he only had so much more time to try for permanent disability.
It's almost like they were goading him.
And it's like, okay, the insurance is to help the injured worker come back to work, not to see if you can't try to
prolong it as much as possible. Yeah.
Prolong it, because as an employer, after you've trained a man or a woman, you really depend on them. They're important to your business.
Well, isn't it sort of like the public school system with average daily attendance? I mean, no matter how lousy the school system is, the most important thing is attendance, so they can get the money per head that shows up there. So, I mean, the system is just all wrong. I mean, I've always felt that I know we're getting off the subject here, but it sort of ties in. I've always felt that in our education, our public education system would be much more high quality if
quality, not quantity.
If people didn't strive to be administrators, if they strive to be teachers, okay. If teachers were paid paid at the top of the income scale instead of administrators, instead of paper pushers, right? So that people would aspire to be teachers because they get the highest pay. Why is everything backwards in this country? Why is it that it is reality, what you just related to us a minute ago? Why shouldn't the company, the workers' comp agencies, why should they keep trying to get people to say, are you sure you're not hurt? Are you sure you're not hurt more? You know?
Well, you don't know whether that's a federal law or...
Yeah,
or whether it's their practices to create more work.
Yeah,
part of what gets you mad, I think, is kind of underneath is the fact that a lot of these guys are illegal immigrants, and that sort of galls you. I can tell. I mean, that's part of it as well. You were talking about the fact that some of these guys are not here legally, and that they're not. I guess they're not paying into the system their share anyway, but they're able to pull out some money from the system. Is that?
Well, that has a little. Well, that probably has a lot to do with it, because there again, they can come. Most of your illegals, if you find out, come up with a Social Security name and a different name quicker
right.
than I can go to the store and come back.
It must be tough. You're not supposed to hire illegals, but how can you tell? They present you papers that look good, don't you?
You can't tell. You send the paper. You get the paperwork from them, and then you send it to the Employment Development. And if they don't respond back that this is a legal person or not, you have absolutely no knowledge.
There's no red flags, no reason to think that they're not.
There's nothing to come up.
And if you refuse to hire somebody because of their race or ethnicity, that's wrong,
then,
too.
Then
you can't refuse to hire them because they might be.
Well, know. I mean, if you're an employer and you need an employee, you don't refuse people that want to work.
Is it true? I think part of the promo here, MZ, is talking about, you know, to be frank, to be politically incorrect, you can't fill the jobs with local homegrown, you know, traditional, whatever that is. I mean, Caucasian Americans, you have to look to a new pool of workers from Asians or Mexicans or Latins. Can you fill your jobs with?
In my business, I probably haven't had a Caucasian ask me for a job for almost 15 years.
Has anybody out there had a Caucasian ask you for a job in 15 years?
A laboring job.
Yeah. For any kind of a job. I want to hear about them. I'd like to know that some of us still work here. Some of us whiteys still work. I think it'd be great. Give us a call, 479-1080. You're listening to the Saturday special. We have attorney Dean Sutton and stucco contractor Bob Sams. We're talking about fraudulent workman's comp claims. I think I would be just as happy if this program evolved into a discussion of tort reform, because it's all related. It's all part of it. And so give us a call if you want to join in, 479-1080. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. If you want to fax, it's 475-2967. But if you fax, after you faxed, call our business line at 475-1080 and let Dave know that you sent a fax, and he'll go up and look at it. Gil in Aptos is going to be our first caller. Gil, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, you guys are wrong about what SIGA stands for and what it does.
Talk to us. Tell us.
Pardon? Yeah, it's California Insurance Guarantee Association. And it's a fund, and you have that on your homeowners and other things. It pays if an insurance company goes bankrupt. Doesn't cover uninsured employers. So I'm not sure where you came up with that, who told you that, but it's absolutely incorrect.
Hey, who told you different?
Who told you that?
Bob, when you talk, you called somebody?
From the insurance company that
from your workers' comp insurance guy?
Yeah, workman's comp, yes, that.
And he told you just have to pay it, and it does what?
They told me it covered an employee that was hurt for work for uninsured.
Well, no, there's a separate fund for that pays if an employer doesn't have insurance, period, then there's a different fund for that. But the California Insurance Guarantee Association is set up so that if a company goes bankrupt, which has happened over the years, Fremont Insurance Company, Reliance Insurance Company, Superior National Insurance Company, there were a whole slew of companies that went bankrupt because they didn't know how to manage their businesses. And so that fund is set up to pay those claims out so that your insurance company doesn't have to. It's an assessment. There's no question about it, but it doesn't go to cover uninsured employers. But I think a question that might want to be asked, and I'm just wondering, you guys are all employers here. Did you know that in 2004, I want to just give this number to you and ask what you think about it. The insurance premiums were almost $24 billion in 2004. Out of that amount, a little over a third went to workers. About $5.5 billion went for insurer expenses, and almost $10 billion went for insurance company profits.
This is Dean Sutton. There's no doubt that the insurance companies, if they handle their business right, are doing very well. Weep not for the insurance companies in this business. I have some comments on that, but go ahead.
So I think that, for employers, you may have a two-pronged battle here. You may have to be, dealing, say, with your employees who you may think are trying to get things that they're not entitled to, but you've got some insurance companies out there, most of them, who are gouging you crazy, making profit hand over fist, and have been doing that for at least 3 years, if not more. I think everybody should get a profit for their work they do. But
are you in this business, sir? You seem to have some background and knowledge in this. Are you an insurance broker?
I'm a workers' comp attorney.
For applicants?
Yes.
Has it been a lot different since April 1904 when the latest reform went through, Schwarzenegger's?
2004.
2000, what did I say? 2004, yeah. April of 4?
It has been different.
Preparing for this, I talked to a couple of guys, applicant attorneys in San Jose and in Salinas, and the message was, this is so tough now. They've dried you up. They've dried up your fees. The amount that the applicants get is so much reduced because they've gone from the old California scale or schedule to the new whatever it is, AMA scale, and has reduced the amount that they get so much, and the attorney fees are often based on that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I can give you an example. A back injury. I had a client who had a herniated disc of 15 millimeters, and you don't have to, I think most people can understand that's a pretty significant disc.
Right.
Young guy, under 30, and the doctor that he selected off a list that the state gave him, because he didn't have an attorney at that time, that was how he had to do it. That doctor said his disability was 5%.
Right.
Now, I was able to show the doctor that he misread something and whatever, and he upped it to maybe, I think it was like 10 or 12%. But just to give you an idea what that means in American dollars here, for a 2005 injury, or 2006 for that matter, say a 12% injury, 12% disability, remember, 15 millimeter disc on a young kid is under 10 grand. That's not going to compensate anybody. That's not going to even compensate him for the lost wages, really, if he's off work, with something like that. That's 10 grand supposed to compensate him for the rest of his life. We're not talking about $10,000 a year. We're talking about $10,000.
Period, yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
Insurance companies are certainly saving a lot of money on that, but I don't see, they're really not passing those costs on to.
Listen, would you comment on the contractor's complaint that illegal immigrants or undocumented illegal people here can also make workers' comp claims?
Absolutely. That's what the state, it says that in the state constitution. If you didn't have that, everybody would hire illegal workers, right? I mean, if you knew you didn't have to pay any insurance, pay out any claims on that, everybody would hire the illegals. It'd save you money.
How about the problem of the faked claims or lying about the extent of injuries, the fraud basically, or the exaggeration of the injuries?
Well, I can't say that doesn't happen, but in the entire state over the last several years, the average has been somewhere about 300 fraud claims a year, and a good percentage of those were employers who lied about their premiums.
He's talking about prosecutions and workers' comp. The actual fraud proved, I've gone through some statistics, actual really proved fraud, insurance fraud claims are really rare. Go ahead, MZ.
Yeah, and I just want to add, I'll give you a personal example of that, and then you tell
Wait. Okay. You guys are going too fast for feeble old MZ. You know, my brain doesn't work that fast. Did I just hear you say, Gil, in response to the question of is it true that illegals may file?
Oh yeah, there's no question. Yes.
Okay. The answer is yes, uh-huh. And I get very upset when I hear that.
Why?
I get real upset because I don't think that they should be able to use our. No, wait a second. Just let me talk here. But then I thought what Gil said, and maybe he's right because I'm slow. He said yes, of course. If it wasn't for that, then everybody would hire only illegals. Isn't that what Gil just said?
Yeah. If he's still on the line.
I'm sorry, I'm slow. I'm not getting the connection here.
Maybe, can I give you 30 seconds, kind of a thumbnail of where workers' comp even came from?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Gil, if you don't mind, are you still on the line?
I'm here.
Yeah. Workman's comp, originally it was
sexist.
Workers'
comp now.
That's what I'm saying. Originally it was very sexist. It was called workmen's comp. It's now, in our modern times, workers' comp.
Because of political correctness.
Yeah, well, I mean, women work to get hurt, too. It started in 1911. It's almost 100 years old. It started during the progressive era, back in the time of, you know, Teddy Roosevelt.
I thought this is the progressive era.
Well, okay. And the idea was, you know, if you remember your history a little bit, it was a pretty bleak time for workers. If they got hurt, that was tough. They were sort of, you know, there was a lot of immigration. 100 years ago, we had almost as many recent immigrants as we do now. At the time, 1905, in those times, the Industrial Revolution.
Except they were legal, right?
Well, yes and no. No, actually, they weren't.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the Irish coming in, wow. And a lot of the Italians coming in, the Southern Europeans coming in. I mean, they were, some were met at Ellis Island, and some were not met at Ellis Island. Some got in off Boston and just came in, but that's another story.
Okay.
The point was, there was a lot of labor. A lot of these people were getting hurt like crazy. And there was nothing they could do about it. They were really screwed in plain English. And theoretically, you could sue an employer for negligence. You'd have to hire a lawyer and try to sue. But that never worked. In the real world, people were just, you know, really, really hurt. It was very bad. It was also very stupid because if all these people were hurt and had nothing else, no place else to go, they'd end up on the dole, on charity, you know, at the poorhouses and causing society a lot of grief and a lot of extra expense. Whether we like it or not, it was decided that it's smart to have a pool of money put together. As the employer knows, good Lord, every time you pay it, you know, you have an employee for $30,000, let's pretend, a number, it actually costs you, what, $45,000, another almost twice as much or a half to twice as much again because you're paying workers' comp, unemployment, Social Security, FICA, all these other expenses and all these things that they're in these package of government programs. Okay, the employer pays a lot more than what the employee gets into the funds.
Yes.
Clearly. The workers' comp was set up. It was set up so that they cannot sue the employer. It was supposed to be administrative. It was supposed to be cheap, and it was supposed to be effective. It was supposed to get the employee something, which is a lot more than they had otherwise. The state history has gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It resulted in a perception of an extreme amount of abuse of the workers' comp system. If you remember Gray Davis, one of the two big issues, if you remember Gray Davis's campaign, was the jail unions, you know, the prison unions, and workers' comp, one of the hot issues. One of the things Schwarzenegger ran on was reforming workers' comp because it was so bad. In April of 2004, cut through it all, the current law was passed, the big reform. One of the big things, and maybe Gil could talk about this, it seems to be clear in all the literature on this, that one of the things that changed was the employee had to use a medical provider chosen by the employer out of a group chosen by the, he couldn't go to his, in the old days, he went to his own doctor, who maybe, shall we say, sympathetic, there were some allegations, mostly in L.A. It's more of an L.A. thing of, you know, fraudulent, you know, claims where they claim they went to the acupuncturist or the chiropractor 10 times. They only went once. Those kind of just pure fraud. That really wasn't so much up here. But today they have to. This, one of the things is they cut through all this. They make the way that they determine the disability much more difficult for the injured applicant. And they have to go to the employer's doctor. And that's supposed to be a way to cut through and reduce a lot of the abuse. Now, that makes it really tough for the applicant, for the good, honest, injured guy who's hurt on the job. Gil?
Well, I think your history was actually, you know, pretty good considering the amount of time you had. As far as the doctor, that's only, you know, that's one issue. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can't, I'm in an HMO. I can't choose my own doctor. Why should somebody else? Well, you know, the real problem behind that, well, first of all, they found that it hasn't really cut costs. Okay? That particular thing of being able to control the network of doctors hasn't cut costs. But what it has done, to some extent, is driven a lot of doctors who were willing to treat workers out of the system. You know, here in Santa Cruz,
doctors are getting paid less. Lawyers are getting paid less. It's harder for guys to find anybody to take the case.
Well,
if they're really...
it's just not the compensation. For the physicians, the amount of paperwork that's required, which they don't get paid for. You look at the Santa Cruz Medical Clinic, you know, in Santa Cruz County, that's the biggest group of doctors by far. Very hard to get them to treat anybody on workers' comp. And if you can't go there, they'll do it as an urgent care. But their specialists, many of them are not really interested in doing that. And so we're having trouble even finding doctors who are on the network.
Okay, now we've caught up with what you said in the beginning. It's worse for the injured guys. They don't get rich, and they certainly don't make it easy. I believe that's true. I mean, if you have a legit claim, it gets processed eventually. But some guys lie for a while, and maybe they collect a few weeks or maybe some months of temporary. But, you know, they're just liars. They just get caught at that.
There are obviously in every kind of a system we have that. We have people who cheat on their income taxes, believe it or not. So
no.
There are people who have spring fever and have to call in sick, too, and they go to the beach. But, I mean, you know, that's that kind of probably exaggeration. But, you know, the employees aren't getting it, and the employers are paying more. Where the hell's all the money going?
Well,
you answered your question.
I just told you.
Yeah.
The insurance.
$10 billion to insurance companies.
The insurance companies. Okay.
In profit, and that's over their expenses.
Bob, are you pissed at the attorneys?
The attorneys? No.
Okay. You're pissed, you're pissed at the insurance
also, to
companies.
Clear everything, I'm not upset over employees that are legitimately hurt, because you do treat a lot of your employees as a family.
Right.
So
right.
You do want the best care for them.
Okay.
Where actually
who
some
are
of
you
the
upset with?
Some of the people that have been truly hurt that have worked for me had a more difficult time getting corrected than the people that know how to play the system better.
Okay.
With the illegal immigration, there should be an easier way to make for sure everybody was illegal. People come up with different names quicker. Example, the person I said that right now is claiming a head injury, he at the hospital gave him a different name, and they contacted me from the hospital, and I looked at my list. I do not have that man working for me. So then the next day he came up with a different name, which did work for me. So he had the different names at the different hospitals. And then they contacted me about whether I'd filed for workman's comp for him, and I said, yes, I had. They said, well, the first name he used at the hospital, he has now filed for this state disability insurance and workman's comp under the other name. So he's got two different names going, and I'm saying, well, isn't that fraud? And he's using the right Social Security name. He had one Social Security for two different names. And as long as he filed for the state disability, supposedly just in case he didn't get the workman's compensation.
Well, you know,
but he used two different names.
Yeah, but that's an issue, I think. Isn't that more of an issue of our immigration opposed to the workers' comp policy?
Yeah, this is probably a time.
Well, sure it is.
Just briefly, if you work at the state level, you're kind of bound and screwed up by some of the craziest, most illogical, most irrational laws on earth, and that's the federal immigration laws and the lack of enforcement. Right now, one theory is that immigration is exclusively federal, and if the feds don't enforce it, you know, there's not much a state or a city can do about it. It's federal preemption. Sometimes, you know, state will try to pass a law. Sometimes it'll be a sanctuary city or something, and, you know, the local people try to influence immigration law. There's a suit going in San Jose right now. Somebody's suing San Jose to try to get them to turn in illegal aliens to the feds for deportation or processing, that kind of thing. But that's all federal, and there's not much we can do about it at this level. And it is very frustrating, but you got to remember that one of the reasons it stays so screwed up is, this is my personal theory, obviously, is that a lot of employers like it that way. You ever read The Grapes of Wrath, the great story? In the Jode family, he asked why they handed out these flyers to the poor Okies, and 2.5 million people fled out to California because it said there was jobs, they could work. And the guy said, well, they handed out these flyers. There's too many guys for each job. Now there's 100 men for each job. And he said, well, why would somebody go to the trouble of doing that? He says, if you got one man there, you got to pay him a real high wage. You got to, you know, you got to pay him a lot. But if you got 100 men wanting the same job, you can pay them a nickel, and they'll fight to get the job, you know, for that nickel. And, you know, we kind of have it the same way now, only they're coming from other countries, not necessarily other states. And one of the immigration law is so screwed up, and it's sort of a wink and a nod at this whole thing. They should one of the insidious cancers of this whole thing is that it's breeding disrespect for the law. Nobody's obeying the law. Nobody's enforcing the law. Everybody kind of likes it, sort of. Some people feel, you know, that they're paying into the system, and then they're not going to get a lot out. Or they're not, we can treat the people not as well, you know, if they're illegal. They're not going to be able to stand up for themselves. And, you know, you got all this swirling around, and you have all the people who are not here legally, and yet when they're here, the state systems are available for them.
Shouldn't they show up?
Well, if they show up bleeding at the story, shouldn't be. All right.
Okay. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday special. It's a quarter to 11. We're going to be on the air right up until noontime discussing workman's comp and maybe tort reform here on your favorite radio station. My name is Michael Z. We have guests in the studio, Dean Sutton, who is a local attorney, Bob Sams, who is a local stucco contractor. We invite your participation, 479-1080. And we do have people calling in now, so we will get to you. We've had Gil. No, I have a feeling this is Gil Stein. Am I right on the phone?
Lucky guess.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's very coincidental here that you're mentioned in the upcoming commentary that we're about to world premiere in about 20 minutes or so. So
that is a coincidence.
Yeah, it's quite a coincidence here. So appreciate your call here. If you'd like to stay on in case we have any questions.
Hey, Gil, let me ask you a quick question. Is it true that the attorney's fees for the applicants, is it kind of a rule of thumb about 12% of is that what the administrative law judges allow?
In our area, it's 15%.
About 15 now?
Because the cases have become so complicated. It used to be 12% generally, but there's just so much more work involved, particularly getting medical care, that 15% is the general fee.
Is it worth staying in the business since the April 04 changes?
It's a challenge, but I think that it's, you know, I'm staying in business. My law firm is staying in business, but it's definitely a challenge to try to deal with the system.
Sort of like the docs with managed care, huh?
Or the low reimbursement here for Medicare in these counties. It's also the same kind of thing.
It's kind of similar to what the Republican Congress did with the bankruptcy laws, which is a whole other issue. Uh-huh. But they made it very hard, very expensive to file bankruptcy. You know, poor people can't file bankruptcy
anymore.
Sort of
like what the federal government did with the Communications Act of 1996 that made mom and pop stations like KSCO all but impossible.
Over-regulation is as bad as taxation. One of the great judges of the Supreme Court said taxation, the power to tax, is a power to destroy. Well, you might as well just put in there regulation and paperwork is the power to destroy.
Yeah. Okay, amen. Let's go to our next caller. That'll be James in Scotts Valley, who is an employer. James, you're on the air on KSCO. Go.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Sure.
Hey, one of the issues it sounds like you're kind of steering towards is, you know, immigration reform. And because I'm just stuck with trying to understand, you know, where these people that come here illegally, which, you know, I was telling the screener that probably a more appropriate term for them is an illegal alien, because they're, you know, they're not an immigrant so much as they are somebody who has
a trespasser, maybe,
who's not recognized as a citizen, and they're not recognized as a, you know, as a person who's come here with means of law. So they've broken the law to get here, and then like your guest was saying, you know, they'll submit illegal documentation or fraudulent documentation in order to attain these jobs. So it's like they're breaking the law all the way down the line. I don't understand why.
Check this out, James. Excuse me, but it's the employer who get prosecuted for hiring an illegal alien.
Yeah, that obviously should be the case as well. But like he's saying, he has a hard time hearing whether or not the person is submitting him proper documentation. So a lot of the times what can he do? He's accepting this on that this person is a legal worker, you know, that they've gone through the proper channels and they're submitting, you know, correct documentation. I mean, is it really his job to make sure that Why is enforcement of the law falling strictly on the employer and not on the system that's been affected, you know, through the government to protect the employer and the citizens of the country?
Because the government is made up of humans, and most humans I know always point the finger and the blame at everybody else, not themselves.
Right.
That's my only.
But again, it goes back. If we didn't have an economic reason for it, there would be enforcement of the immigration laws. Right now, I mean, cards on the table. You know, a lot of the Republicans and businesses like the cheap labor. A lot of the Democrats like, hopefully future voters. And they, you know, the unions want to welcome people in. Union membership is down. They want the new immigrants to come in, be in the unions. Republicans, you know, like it. They don't have to negotiate with a strong union with few people. They have lots of people to choose from. There's a lot of economic reasons why everybody is ignoring and disobeying the law. And that creates, you know, disrespect. I mean, the kids who come in, I mean, this is, you know, you get the mixed families where one's legal, one's a green card, one's illegal. And, you know, there's some... We went through this in 86 and kind of screwed it up. We kind of faced it, you know, granted amnesty, and the theory was we were going to seal the borders and people would come in either with a worker program and go back out or come in legally. And we haven't done any of that.
I hear a pregnant pause.
Yeah, I'm just baffled. I don't understand. Well, you're saying that there's people that are unwilling to enforce the law.
Yeah, they're called Congress. And the president. I mean, the current administration,
Congress
has just been a real screw-up on this.
But Congress isn't, their job is not supposed to enforce law.
Yeah, it is. Well, they enact it and cause it to be enforced.
Their job is to make the law, right? And then the courts their job is to interpret the law. I mean, it's the executive branch that's in charge of enforcing the law. You know, like we have, you know, the attorney general, you know, the police department, the FBI, you know, these types of people are the ones that are supposed to enforce the laws, and they're not doing it for whatever reason. And it seems to me like there must be some kind of they must have orders in some way, you know, not to you know, deport these people, because I mean they're breaking the law.
They are. We have. What?
You're right. There's people who are involved in this that are supplying these. You know,
they're picking a new U.S. attorney for San Francisco right now. He was one of the famous seven or eight that got fired that caused all the current political controversy. And one of the criticisms was that he wasn't enforcing prosecuting the federal immigration laws like he should. They're looking for a new U.S. attorney right now in San Francisco.
All right, we should move on here, gang. Thanks to James in Scotts Valley for your call to KSCO.
Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate hearing from you. Let's see, we've got 8 minutes before 11 a.m. We've got some commercials that we're going to run right now. Then I've got a fax to read, and we'll ask Gil about this. He might be able to ask the question raised by this fax that I will read. You're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Judy DeVilbiss. I think there's something I should tell you about. Vin Soleil. That comes from the Longevity Company. It has a 30 SPF, and it's really a great sunscreen. I slather it all over myself, my face, my arms, my legs. You know what? You just can't have that harmful rays on your body. You'll end up in trouble. I mean, it could happen to anyone. Take care of yourself. So Bon Soleil sunscreen, 30 SPF. It's for you. And you know what the best part is? The Longevity Company actually has an after sun gel. Oh, you can't imagine. You come home from that hot beach or hot job, whatever. You're all sunscreened and very safe because you did use your sunscreen. So you get in the shower, you wash everything off, and then when you get out of the shower, you just slip on this wonderful sun gel. It feels fantastic. Come on, give it a try. It's Longevity. It's Dr. Joel Wallach's product, and it's good. Call 888-35 7500. That's 888-352-7500. Thank you.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric at 425-1407. That's 425-1407.
Okay, let's get ready for kindergarten. Backpack?
Yep.
Jacket?
Yep.
Dental appointment?
Mommy, how's it going to help me get ready for school?
I want to make sure you don't have any cavities.
Hi, I'm Assemblymember John Laird, and like you, I believe your child's health is important. That's why the new dental checkup requirement for children entering kindergarten is important, so that all children can be ready to learn. Parents, get more information at CDA.org or call 800-CDA-SMILE.
Paid for by the California Dental Association.
Okay, welcome back to the Saturday special. We're in the closing minutes of hour number one. We got hour number two ahead. We're talking workman's comp, and we have a guest, Dean Sutton and Bob Sams in the studio. We got Gil Stein, who's a worker's comp attorney, on the phone. And here is a fax received some time ago to MZN guests from Steve in Watsonville. As a small business owner, I know what a mess the state has made off worker's comp. Now Senate Bill 840 is trying to put health care under state control. We should all be very afraid. I guess I don't need to ask you about Senate Bill 840. Who knows about Senate Bill 840 here? Is anybody here?
By that name, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know by that number. I don't know. Maybe they can call and tell us what they mean.
Yeah.
I assume they mean the universal health care.
Well, it says, Senate Bill 840 is trying to put health care under state control. We should all be very afraid. Okay. Pardon me. Dave, our pilot in command, I guess, typed this up here because he received a call from someone who claimed to be a state fraud inspector but didn't want to get on the air due to a conference that happens to be in town. Claims that his department is severely overworked due to cuts by Gray Davis and Cruz Bustamante. There are only four people handling all cases between Ventura and Marin, west to Nevada, Tahoe. One of these agents is pregnant, making things even harder. He says there are 19 cases in San Luis Obispo and Monterey counties that are suspected to have been filed by illegals facing deportation, conveniently allowing these people to stay in the country even longer. He also estimates that there are 2,000 such cases. Well, it says 2,000, so I don't statewide. I have no way to confirm that he is a state fraud inspector.
It could be fraud, but remember, the complaint's not with the workers' comp system. The complaint's with the immigration system, which is Alice in Wonderland system. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that shows the level that the administration really puts towards stopping illegal immigration. Because you were right, it's a jobs issue. To some extent, we know there's a problem, and I think that most people, whether they're employers or employees, would prefer that there are jobs for people who want to work here. And we should also be concerned, I think, by the amount of jobs that are going offshore as well.
Most people are mostly honest most of the time, and most guys, if they show up for work, I've been there. My dad worked in the oil fields, never went to college. I was a roustabout in the oil fields. I was one of those guys that shows up on the dock in the morning with the lunch pail and the hard hat and, hopes to get picked. Some days I did and sometimes I didn't. And the days you don't, it's pretty damn bad.
So that's why you went to become a lawyer?
Yeah, I was the black sheep of the family. I went to law school.
Okay. All right, Margaret in Santa Cruz about fraud. You're on the air, Margaret.
Hi there. A great show. When I first moved to Santa Cruz in 1982, I worked for a workers' comp fraud investigator. And that was really, really exciting. We nailed so many guys. But listen, I just wanted to say that, with illegal immigrants, wouldn't the employer, check references, prior job history, possibly do a credit check? I mean, there are ways follow.
Yeah, the problem is if a person is using a fake number and a fake name, if they use it consistently, they steal your identity. That's a problem. I mean, here you get off into we should have fingerprint ID cards. If you really want to, clamp down at the ID level, then you got, we were talking about it earlier. Maybe have a fingerprint card or something like that where ID is established for that person, not the ID that has been stolen and looks good.
Yeah, and I would imagine somebody in the construction business doesn't really have time to do those kinds of checks. They need somebody right now to do the job, and they're not going to wait around a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean about the power of the burden that's put on everybody here to comply with, you know, in triplicate with forms that go to the state and the feds and all this stuff. We complain properly when things don't get done, but then you have to realize the cost of screwing around to doing it, too.
Right. Know? Well, then, you know, and also, you know, an employer has to really keep his eyes open for perhaps, you know, employees that do drugs, you know, employees that are...
I hate to do this, but we're coming up on the top of the hour right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 a.m. Here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Rod Fritz. Tens of thousands of pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem this weekend, not only for Easter, but Passover as well.
Bishops and priests from different Christian faiths gathered in the Holy Sepulchre Church in Jerusalem, the site believed to be where Christ was crucified, buried, and then rose from the dead. As they gathered inside, a large fire was lit to signify the bright light that Christians believe came.
Darling, I hate to hang up on you.
Yep, yep, the inside track is definitely your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're going to start hour number two off with a commentary.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio.
And it is a commentary by none other than the birthday girl, my mama Kay, who turns 86 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Ma. If you want to call and wish her happy birthday yourself, you can call the comment line at 429-2222.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Kudos to Gil Stein, a local attorney, for writing this following condensed by me impassioned protest. Also, kudos to Tom Honig, editor of the Sentinel News, for printing Gil Stein's entire comprehensive letter called UC Pays for Political Rally Against Israel. I would also call the title Anti-Semitism is Alive and Well on UC Campuses. On March 15th, UC Santa Cruz hosted a conference entitled Alternative Histories Within and Beyond Zionism. The conference was organized by Lisa Roefel, a professor of anthropology at UCSC. The event was co-sponsored by other university departments, such as Feminist Studies, Community Studies, and Sociology. There were five speakers, all Jewish and all from different UC campuses, opposing Israel. This was presented as an academic conference. In fact, it was a political rally against Israel, sponsored and paid for by the University of California, which we the people subsidize. Why is this a concern? It's just one more example of the arrogance of power. Professors are educators and should teach and not exploit their power to promote their personal agenda. When university resources are used to promote a particular political point of view, it concerns us all. And those educators are brainwashing our children. What happened here was a deliberate attempt to promote and encourage an anti-Semitic agenda. All five anti-Zionist speakers had no contrary opinion. The event organizer, Roefel, asked the chair of the Jewish Studies program here at UCSC, Professor Murray Baumgarten, to co-sponsor the event and even asked for a financial contribution. This is like asking someone to help purchase the rope for his own hanging. To his credit, Professor Baumgarten volunteered to help secure other presenters who might add a more balanced viewpoint. This was declined. The political agenda was already set. Israeli policy is very simple. It only wants the right to exist in peace. Who could oppose that? This conference was a deliberate attempt to indoctrinate students and others and to promote the concept that Israel has no right to exist. The University of California has a responsibility not only to the students and faculty, but to all Californians to refrain from promoting an ideology or personal agendas. The university belongs to all of us and should not be used for the private use of its employees. This is not an issue of academic freedom. It is an issue of academic integrity and academic honesty. Whether the indoctrination is from the left or the right, it is improper. It needs to be stopped now. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Boy, I couldn't second that more fervently. That kind of stuff really bugs me, ladies and gentlemen. Just for your information, we had talked about having this Saturday special today on this particular topic that you just heard about in that commentary. And we made several attempts to contact Lisa Roeffel, and of course, our calls were ignored. We're not going to stop. And we're going to put out her phone numbers on the air here pretty soon, maybe not in this program. But if you're as upset as I am about that, it's about time to really make the university know that, you know, the public is not going to stand for that kind of use, of one-sided use of a tax-supported institution. I mean, I'm very angry about that. But back to the topic, and by the way, as I said, coincidentally, here's Gil, who's on the telephone with us, who happens to be a workman's comp attorney. Somehow, it evolved, so that, you will be on this program when we have the program, right, Gil?
I plan to be.
Great. Yeah, do you think there's anything that could be done besides people just getting really, really angry and letting them know that they're not going to put up with it?
I should hope so, Michael. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, as you know. But I think that...
And not just with regard to Israel, but with regard to, you know, whatever the pet political projects are of the university professors. And that's fine as long as they're going to provide a chance for the other side to speak, which they don't.
Right, and also a high quality as opposed to just a bunch of rhetoric and reading slogans, which this... I did sit through the 3.5 hours of this program, so I'm not... talking about what somebody told me. I was there, and there was very little academic. The academic stuff there was so boring that I almost fell asleep.
Yeah. But bothers me is that these rats who perpetrate this, they won't be accountable at all.
Well, I think
the fact that she didn't return my call makes me very, very angry. If she had returned my call, I was going to say, hey, come on the radio and give your side of the story here.
You know, Michael, you might want to also suggest when you do give out the number, perhaps to give out the number of the chancellor's office and let
them
know.
Yes.
As well, because to stop rogue professors or whatever, you know, people who do this kind of thing is, you know, one thing. But I think it really comes from up on high that there's got to be a clear message. Just like we were talking about the immigration policy, there's got to be a clear message that certain things won't be tolerated.
Right. Okay. Great. So stay tuned, KSCO listening audience, because there's a lot. You're going to hear a lot more about this topic, guaranteed. All right. Back to our program. Gil and Margaret were on the line together. Margaret, you want to continue? You said another minute or two, I think, right?
Yeah, I'll conclude. Yeah, it's just like playing dirty is the big game right now in life, isn't it? Does everybody play a little dirty to get ahead? Screw everybody over.
Yeah.
You know, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are out of the school. You know, so go ahead. Lie, steal, cheat, covet. You know, it's only going to get worse. You know, and employers that really have to look out and be careful for employees that are doing drugs. And employees, you know, I hate to say it, but you're going to have to take it from me, but employees that are morbidly obese, they are high-risk employees. And you know what? I had a neighbor that claimed disability, and he was just like this nuisance that was just hanging around the house a lot. But I mean, he was far from disabled. He was getting money from churches, welfare. You know, he's working for a moving company on the side. And I decided to try to turn him into disability workers' comp fraud. No one cared. I couldn't get any kind of satisfaction about that kind of thing. And then on the flip side, when someone really is in bad shape, for instance, my very own father had early onset of Alzheimer's, and it took years and attorney to get him a disability payment. And even after that, you know, they take like this huge chunk of money that, you know, Mr. Joe injured really fully deserved.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, we're here. We're here. We've been listening to you.
Yeah. So, you know, it's tough. That's about all I need.
Clearly.
Today.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. That was Margaret on a cell phone. Here's Kenny in Watsonville about workers' comp. Go ahead, Kenny. You're on.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the hidden, the vast hidden country of undiscovered fraud that's out there.
Okay.
Not just undiscovered, but fraud that's not pursued for various reasons. You have entrepreneur employers out there. They don't have the time or the resources a lot of times, and they know there's something fishy going on, but they just, you know, shine it because there's too much to do in this world to be chasing after these folks. And then as the caller, or the, I think it was somebody wrote in, we all know that the workers' comp fraud enforcement is just, I mean, talk about overworked. There's that aspect. And another hidden cost are the milkers of the system, the people who have maybe a legitimate or a quasi-legitimate claim when they first go on board. And then they take that thing ad nauseum. I mean, it goes on forever, where you and I would come back to work and tough it out, you know, and do what's necessary to make a living and to be faithful to our employer, who is a good person 9 times out of 10. Some of these folks just milk that system like you wouldn't believe. And if you talk to anybody who's in the system itself, and if they can talk freely without being, you know, accused of all kinds of crimes and misdemeanors, they will tell you privately that it's just horrendous what's going on in there. And that's all what I would say would be called legitimate fraud, because it's legitimate claims. And again, you know, all the lost hours that aren't accounted for, when folks in business have to try to pursue this thing, it's really pathetic. I wanted to say something to you too, Michael, about, you've raised it several times about whiteys won't do work. And it really distresses me because I have
why whiteys won't do physical labor work. Oh, I should have said that.
Yeah, I have people that work with me all the time of all persuasion, and it doesn't matter what race or nationality they are. We have good workers and bad workers. We have really hard workers.
I'm delighted to hear that, Kenny.
Yes.
I think you're in the minority. I don't see any whiteys working anywhere.
Maybe in Santa Cruz.
I'll come. Okay.
maybe in Santa Cruz, but you know, in a lot of other areas immediately around here, there's people of all ethnic backgrounds that are doing very hard physical work. Having said that, a lot of times people, you know, move up in the system and get out of the physical part, and they earn their way, you know, through it. And there's people, again, of all nationalities. That's the other thing I wanted to point out, too, that so often the illegal immigration issue is made as a racial issue. It's a nationality issue, and it doesn't matter if you're from Mexico or Guatemala or China or Vietnam. The illegal is the illegal, no matter where they're from, and it's just because it's so convenient for people to pop over the border from Mexico, and their economy is so bad. And Canada would probably have the same problem if their economy was as bad as Mexico's is. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, and I hate to have this racial component constantly being introduced to the illegal immigration and the fraud and all that stuff.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying in my own way, I'm contributing by making comments like that. Huh?
Not just you, but you know, most people, when they talk about it, it just blows right past their consciousness that it's a nationality issue. It's not. It just happens that some people might be from one race, from one country, but that's not what the point is. The point is that they're foreign nationals coming here illegally. That's the point that we want to make, not that they're of any kind of race or ethnic background.
Okay.
Oh, can I say one last thing?
Sure,
please?
Go ahead, Ken.
It's just that there's an extremely small percent of the fraud that's ever really exposed. I mean, and you have your workers' comp attorneys that are working on the side of some of these individuals, and sometimes people are accused of fraud and it's not really true. That's not all that often, but so often people don't expose the fraud that's there, either for lack of resources, they just don't have the time or the energy, or they don't know how to do
Kenny,
it.
Kenny, I think you made that point already.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Here's Bruce in Brookdale. You're on the KSEO Saturday Special, Bruce.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Say, I liked Kay's editorial this time and last time. I'd like to make a comment on this one before I hit my subject.
Go for it.
The UC students are so upset with Israel for having some land that was formerly owned by Palestinians. Now, what are they doing going to school on a campus where only California Indians should go? They should leave the state if they feel so strongly about it.
Okay.
Okay. And the last caller just said that there's too much to do to be taking care of these things. It's from Atlas Shrugged, essentially, where they said we have so many laws that they have to be in violation of some of them. And that's what's happened in the state. But my points are this. It seems to be largely an identification problem, an identity problem. You don't need a fingerprint identity card. You have your fingerprint. Fingerprint technology is to the point now where there will some company like Apple or Hewlett-Packard will come up with a fingerprint taking device that you can put on your computer and shoot it to the state and find out exactly who this guy is. And if the thumbprint isn't good enough, then you do all five on one hand or something like that. That way you're carrying around your own ID. You don't have to have a driver's license. You don't have to have any ID card because your ID is with you.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that scream that that's some kind of violation of privacy. But I think that's BS. I think that you have no right to try to lie and be somebody else. You should have no problem with showing who you are, and we carry it around the end of our fingertips. And yes,
right.
So that's the way it should be done.
Isn't that the point of a driver's license? That's supposed to be you. When you show up with a...
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah, I've been a notary. I mean, at some point, right. I need to see a picture ID, have some kind of reliable identification. Yeah,
this would be
I have
really,
no problem with that at all.
Exactly. In fact, you're using fingerprints now when you change property.
Let me say yes. Take yes for an answer. I agree with that.
Now, and the other
thing... Atlas Drug, 10286.
If you want to get rid of some of this fraud, why not hold the employer responsible for all the costs incurred by illegal aliens? So that if they go on... workman's comp, the employer has to pay it.
The
employer personally. It all comes out of him. There's no workman's comp insurance for illegal aliens.
Why should he be in such a risk if somebody shows up with what appears to be totally good-looking ID documents?
Well, maybe he should be more careful. Maybe we should get this fingerprint technology.
He's a victim of the fraud. He's not committing the fraud. He says, I just want to hire a man to dig a ditch.
That's not in the majority of cases, and you know it. Majority of cases are people that the employer knows are the ID is questionable.
You mean there's a lot of people that wink at this whole screwy system we've got going now?
I would say it's a don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Did I hear another voice?
That's Gil's call, didn't it?
That was the other voice. Okay.
That was the other voice.
Yes, Lord, God, go ahead.
No.
For instance, let's say you hire an illegal to work on your house. You know, to mow your lawn or something like that, and he cuts his foot with a lawnmower.
Yeah.
You're on the hook. Not the state, nobody else.
Yeah, homeowners, by the way, has workers' comp insurance. They'll tell you that, but there's a real loophole there. They have to have worked something like 52 hours in the last 90 days. If they don't, you're screwed. You got no workers' comp under your homeowner's insurance. It goes directly on you personally.
Yep.
And a lot of times they'll deny the homeowner's insurance coverage.
How about a personal liability, an umbrella policy?
You have to have underlying coverage first add additional coverage with an umbrella. If you don't have underlying coverage, the umbrella doesn't cover anything.
Now, if you hire the homeowner. But if you hire an independent contractor, for instance, if you hire a gardening service that's its own business and they have comp insurance, then you don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's a different thing. That's a big if. If is half of life. It's the biggest word in the English language. It's half of life. Go ahead.
How do you know they have comp insurance? They can tell you they do. So the homeowner and the employer should be careful in this because make sure that they know.
Not only do they claim they'll have homeowners insurance, workers' comp insurance, they'll claim they got a contractor's license. They'll give you a card that's got a number on it, and it's expired, irrelevant, the wrong kind. You have to have a license to trim a tree more than 15 feet. For example, if you're a handyman and you're trimming a tree, no license is required. If it's over 15 feet, a contractor's license is required for that.
And you can go online. You can go online and check that out.
There's also a 1-800 number for the contractor's license board and the website to check
if
somebody's licensed.
If we had a few folks down there that really wanted to solve the problem instead of just push different laws around, many of these problems could be solved, at least if not solved. 80% solved with a few very simple rules.
Hey, Bruce, aren't you a contractor or weren't you
a contractor? Well, you know, I quit being a contractor because of all this paperwork.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just incredible. You want to hire? So what I do now is I just do time and materials.
And you want the contractors to be personally liable and guarantee the status of all their employees?
If they're contracting,
yeah.
Absolutely. Look, why should I be responsible for a contractor who hires five Mexicans that he finds on a corner and one of them gets hurt? Why should I, as a taxpayer, be responsible for that?
Well, why would you be?
Workers'
comp is private.
Complete. Okay. Okay. Why should I, as an employer, be responsible for that?
Because you hired them.
No, not me. I didn't hire them. The other contractor.
Well, the other contractor's liable.
No, my rates go up because of that. The reason rates are so high is because there's so many people applying for the benefit.
I beg to differ. The rates are high because the insurance companies are still making big profits.
Well, let me turn around. Let me ask the contractor. If you got a guy who's injured, a guy who's legitimately injured,
yep.
I mean, his arm's cut with a chainsaw. It's really bad.
Right.
He wouldn't let him bleed to death because
no.
He doesn't have the right immigration paperwork? I mean, that's where we start as a society.
No, I want the owner. Now, I've seen this happen. I saw a guy cut his leg, an illegal Mexican,
right.
Cut his leg with a skill saw.
Right.
The owner of the property took him down to the hospital
right.
And took care of the bill.
Okay.
Because... otherwise, he's on the hook because he was hiring this guy for a long time, didn't pay any workman's comp, didn't pay anything.
Right.
It was like a pure cash thing. So to avoid legal entanglements, the owner just took care of it. And I think that's the way it should be.
It's honorable. It's also a lot smarter. It's probably the cheapest way to do it, having it processed as claims and law and mediation and arbitration and doctors. And.
I used to work for a contractor who was a contractor, and he's a general. And if somebody got hurt on the job, he took him down to the hospital and paid it himself so his rates wouldn't go up. Because
mm-hmm.
It just...
Well, it's like if you get in a bumper crumpler, if you scrape the other car, the heck, don't turn it on your insurance. Just go,
exactly.
pay the body shop to fix it. It's a lot cheaper than trying to process it through the insurance company.
Well, let me give you guys something to think about, to talk about the absurdities of some of the laws. Right now, if a contractor, say, doesn't have any insurance, he's got employees... If he's found, if he's prosecuted for that, the most he's got is a misdemeanor, small fine and a misdemeanor.
And that's a big if.
Right. But if he has insurance, but he underreported his payroll, so his premium would be less.
Felony.
That's a felony.
Yeah.
You tell me, what does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't make any sense. Fix it.
Well, there's legislation to do that, but every time it gets anywhere, people, it gets vetoed. And I don't know. I don't understand that.
Well, I do. It's the politicians we have.
Okay, why?
They're not totally stupid, not all of them. Why? There's a lot of money flying. Follow the money. There's a lot of economic reasons why a lot of employers, a lot of big businesses, agribusinesses, somebody's got bucks in Sacramento, and they're keeping it this way.
If these people would vote correctly, vote for the right things, it would be a lot cheaper in this state.
Well, I got another explanation for you. It's maybe not necessarily different, but a different spin. And that is, when you underreport your payroll, You're cheating the insurance company.
No.
When you don't have insurance, you're cheating the worker who should be covered.
Yeah, you mean you write employees down as having a much less dangerous job than they actually do? Is that one way to do it?
Or you report, there's some people, say, who pay a check at $10 an hour, and then they pay another $5 in cash. What's reported to the carrier, and what is their charge is just on the $10 an hour.
Based on the total.
Well, my suggestion about that is you have to post certain notices on the job site for your employees to read. One of them should be that the employee should verify his workman's comp status with the employer and have it the employer should be included on the tag on his paycheck.
Yeah, I'd like to speak briefly. I was letting Bob talk earlier. One of the first things he said was he was complaining because people were notifying his employees, you know, that you were saying kind of stirring them up or goading them on, I think was MZ's word, to try to make claims. A lot of what that is simple notices to the employee. Notice. You have 90 days to file a claim, for example, or 20 days to do this or do that.
Right.
And that's not saying make it up, lie. It's saying, you know, notice you've got 30 days to do something if you want to.
Yeah.
Those notices are ticking,
you know, kind of a thing.
Right. If you don't do it, then you may lose your right to bring the claim later.
That's not an illegitimate solicitation by the lawyer, you know, stir up a false claim.
Not a thing wrong with it.
No.
That's employees should know that. But there should be very harsh penalties for fraud. They should make it. Oh, not only that, but the benefits oughtn't be so great that they're committing giant frauds together.
Well, how great are they?
Well, I
had
a
herniated disc, $10,000 is great.
I had a brother-in-law who got injured in a bar fight. He applied for workman's comp and got it. He got $53,000 for a year. Not workman's comp, but disability. He got $53,000 in 1 year, then that was all he got. But he didn't get hurt on the job, and he essentially didn't do anything for a year and got $53,000. Now,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Was he just a patron in the bar? Was he the bouncer at the bar? Or what?
He was a patron that got in a fight.
Okay, so it wasn't on the job?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so, but if he had been hurt on the job, what he would have gotten for a year is two-thirds of his wages. Okay,
no.
That's...
I'm telling you, he got disability, not workers' comp.
Disability is different than workers' comp.
And that's probably state disability.
Right.
And
right.
State disability, it wouldn't be $50,000 because the most right now is about $840, $850 a week.
It's kind of like a state welfare system. It's a different thing.
No, it's not. It's insurance. It's taken out of the worker's paycheck.
He got his union wages for 1 year. That's what he got.
Well, is that maybe under the union contract?
Yeah, it might have been that. Huh?
So, but if he was hurt on the job, it would be two-thirds of his wages. And then after he's returned back to work, you know, depending on how badly hurt, it could be a $5,000 award, a $10,000, maybe a $15,000. You're not going to find too many above $20,000. Certainly not around the $50,000 range. If with a herniated disc.
Yeah, you got to get to eye outs or arms off, and you know those kind of claims.
This was a shoulder, and he was a sheetrocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
he probably couldn't do the job. And if a guy's, you know, if a guy loses his right to, you know, his ability to work in the field. His compensation, you'd think, would be pretty great, but it's not. I mean, there's...
What's going on, Gil, with the retraining right now, quickly? Is there any much happening in the retraining?
Very little. It actually, in 2004, it was outlawed.
Right.
It was under Gray Davis. And they have something where it used to be that if someone was injured on the job and couldn't go back to their... Then
the existing
there would be often a retraining program for that person to try to get them back into the labor market.
Yeah.
That's gone.
I taught at junior college. We used to have a lot of guys in there taking paralegal classes and things because they got hurt on the job. Yeah.
Yeah. And now what it is...
They don't pay for that anymore.
No, what they do is instead they get something they call a voucher, which doesn't go to the worker. It goes to a school. And there are very, very few people who take advantage of that because one of the things is they don't give you any money to live on.
Yeah.
They don't pay mileage to get there. So
it's an illusory sort of thing. It's all just sort of a ghost thing. It looks pretty.
And the amount's pretty small, too.
Yeah. Guys, we want to thank Bruce.
Just real quick. I think you're right about the two-thirds because $1,000 or $53,000 a year is only $1,000 a week. And a union sheetrocker makes more than that. So you're probably right about that two-thirds.
Okay, Bruce, thanks, you made a good call to the Saturday special. Thank you for doing that. There goes Bruce in Brookdale. Here comes Joseph in Monterey County about illegal workers. Before we put Joseph on, I want to remind everybody that we have open lines. So now is a good time to call if you want to, 479-1080. That'll hook you up to our on-air phone system. You can go on the air with us here at the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Guests, stucco contractor Bob Sams and attorneys Dean Sutton and Gil Stein. And you, the callers here, 479-1080 or 475-2967, our fax, or mz@ksco.com. I have the email box looking right at me in the face here. So here's Joe in Monterey. You're on with us on KSCO, Joe. Joseph, rather.
Good morning, all.
Hi.
Enjoying your show.
Thanks.
I'm calling about not illegal aliens, but illegal workers who happen to end up in the workplace.
What's that mean?
And they are often using fake identity.
Okay.
When these injured workers get injured on the job, they are at times able to perform some sort of light duty. Unfortunately, the employer is faced with the predicament of having to bring back an illegal worker into the workforce on light duty. Of course, that would be a violation of the law.
So what's your point, that it happens or
it doesn't? Well, you can't bring back an illegal worker into the workplace once you find out that they're using two or three social security numbers and several names. So there's disability payments paid through workers' comp, of course, because the injured worker can't come back to the workplace on light duty legally. So I think one of the ways we can cut down on the cost for the state through the state system or insurances is to prohibit the benefits of temporary disability or permanent disability for illegal workers. I can understand the medical payments.
The problem is on a macro system. If you get a guy and he doesn't get the $200 or $300, you know, temporary disability, what's he going to do? He's going to rob a gas station, or he's going to go on the dole. He's going to go on welfare, which costs even more. At least the workers' comp system collects money from the employer's checks and from the employees' checks as they go along, at least to have a fund to help fund it. You know, if you at a big picture system, if you don't have some way, you know, these people, they get nothing. Then they go on welfare or crime or something. Well, where do they go? What do they do?
Well, perhaps they should be deported after they're treated medically.
Well, you weren't going to talk about illegal aliens. You were going to talk about illegal workers, people.
Well, if the worker is not able to work legally, why would we want to pay him temporary disability?
Well, you're not. I mean, let's put it this way. Why should an employer pay less in premium?
Well, I'm not talking about employers who pay less of a premium. I'm talking about employers who hire what they think is a legal worker,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out to be an illegal worker.
By illegal worker, you mean an undocumented illegal alien, somebody here from another country.
Someone who's using
that legal green card. Okay.
Someone who's using fraudulent documents.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the ID theft. There's a lot of guys that are, you know, got out of prison or something, and if they say who they really are, they're not going to get hired. They're American citizens, but they'd rather, you know, pretend to be somebody else so they could get hired. Or they've got lousy credit, or they just got out of prison. I mean, there's guys that run around and pretend to be somebody else.
Or somebody might lie about their age to get a job that they're, you know, they might do something to work in a bar when they're not of age.
That's true. Of course, underage workers are eligible for benefits, and some actually eligible for additional benefits under the law.
Okay. No, but if it's an illegal worker, I mean, if you're talking about somebody, say, who's supposed to be 18 and they're only 17 and a half, are you going to say they lied about their age so they don't get any benefits?
No, I'm talking about the illegal immigrant who is in the country and using falsified documentation.
Okay, so, but what I want to, I mean, you're coming from one point of view. Let's say that happened. Let's say that you pay emergency medical bill and then you put them on a truck and send them back where they came from. In the meantime, the insurance company has collected money from the employer based on the salary that was paid to that guy.
Correct.
But the insurance company isn't...
Send those Irishmen back to Ireland where they came from, those Okies back to Oklahoma where they came from.
Now, wait a minute, Dean, and hold on, Joe, and hold on, Gil, hold on, everybody, okay? You said something a little earlier that I thought was not correct, Dean. And I wasn't going to say anything.
Go ahead.
But a caller has called and said that employer only pays into the workers' comp system. The employee pays nothing. And you said that the employee paychecks pay for workers' comp.
The state disability is employee.
Not the
workers' comp is the employer.
Right.
Oh. Okay. And I've seen that. But some I think it was Dean who said it. That the employee,
I'm talking about what an employee costs
into a worker's, some of their paycheck comes out and pays for workers' comp. And I don't remember seeing that. And who said that's correct? Who just said that now?
Well, this is Joseph again. The employer pays for workers' comp.
Yes.
The employee is not supposed to, and at times they do. Unfortunately, they get charged for workers' comp. They're not supposed to.
Yeah, okay.
And state disability is just the opposite, where it's the employee who pays state disability. And the benefits, of course, are are non-taxable if they're earned because the employee pays for the premiums.
You must be an employer.
I'm giving you the viewpoint of an employer.
What kind of an employer are you?
An employer of...
A good, besides a good one.
A good one who pays their premiums.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And pays premiums that are too high.
Yes. Okay. Like all the rest of us, I guess. So, all right. Well, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We appreciate it. That was Joseph in Monterey County. Here's Scott in Boulder Creek. Welcome to the Saturday special, Scott. 20 minutes before 12, you're on.
Thank you, Michael. Excellent show.
Thanks.
As usual. I'd like to talk about, there's some parallels, so I'd like to talk about driving insurance. There's underinsurance insurance is available. But nevertheless, insurance is mandatory. Now, it's a state law that that we have to have insurance. Now, it turns out that cities, especially the big cities, all have invested in these nest eggs, some of them worth billions of dollars. They invest in companies, mostly insurance companies, and due to the mandatory insurance, you know, they're doing quite well. For example, Orange County cried bankruptcy to the federal government, and they said, you know, dig into your own nest egg, and not another word was heard from it. They just had to go and do that. So I think that's a major conflict of interest right there. I mean, some of these salaries, you know, the people are making are, you know, $500,000. You know, people work for the government. And they have this incredible, you know, they're making incredible profit off insurance that we have to, by law, have. And as I said, even though we have uninsurance available, you know, they sell it to you, maybe it would go up. But they nevertheless made insurance mandatory. However, illegal immigrants are virtually exempt. I know many policemen who will not cite for no driver's license, no insurance, because they have no way of legally obtaining it. And furthermore, I've seen many judges dismiss and suspend the sentence and say don't do it again because they know these people have to work. So, you know, one idea is, I'm saying is, you know, that eliminate mandatory insurance and make the premium on uninsurance go as up, because there's simply some people who buy their cars at auction and have no ability to obtain insurance. And that's all I really had to say.
Well, that's all tied into the idea of having driver's license for illegal aliens and so they can qualify for insurance and all that.
Well, if it was a separate driver's license, you know, I think many people are worried about the demographics. I mean, before it became an issue, when I was crossing the country to visit a friend in Florida, I saw five Mexicans hitchhiking on the freeway in Texas, you know.
Right.
And I had a pickup truck, and I thought I got to get them out of there before they get, you know, arrested. And I ended up driving halfway across Florida for them, you know, and making sure they had accommodations before I left. You know, that's just human nature.
What you're talking about, this is what I mean about the huge, for some reason there's this almost universal ability to wink at the whole thing and ignore it. How about B of A giving Visa cards to people without Social Security numbers? You know, the whole idea of the economic power, the recognition of the employees,
mm-hmm.
the buying power,
the buying power of
people here who don't have legitimate, they need to be, I mean,
home.
The short bottom line is we need to, amnesty is the word. I mean, at some point you have to give them green cards, you have to recognize them here.
You know, the amnesty didn't really work in 86, though, did it?
It did if the other side, Reagan's, forgive me, but screwed that up, the Simpson-Mazzoli Act, that there were two parts in it. They were supposed to give amnesty to the, whatever, 4 million that were here, and they were supposed to seal the border. They did one, but not the other.
Are you suggesting that if amnesty is giving now that they're going to seal the border?
No, I'm
Who's
saying
seal
if they
the
should
border?
Do both.
Did I miss something? Who's going to seal the border and when?
The feds. They should.
Yeah,
that's
of
what,
course
that's
they
what
should,
they said they were going to do in 86
yeah,
and didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
and
well,
if they did that, at least people would be
gonna do
illegal.
It, they're not going to they do it now because they're all pandering for the vote. It doesn't matter who
Well, I mean,
are.
They'd be on the books. Yeah. They'd be on the books.
You know, just to add to that, I have a friend who's a policeman. He immigrated legally from Vietnam after his father was killed there. And his idea, you know, his feeling is a minefield. It'll keep him out. So there's a lot of hard feelings, you know, because it's I don't mind letting the whole world here, or I don't mind uniform insurance, immigration policies, but to just say to Mexico, you can come over here, and to say to all Haitians, you know, and everybody else in the world, you can't come over here and send money back to your country, is simply lopsided.
Okay, Scott, thanks for your call on the Saturday special. Good
Except
to hear from
we,
you.
We need the workers.
Hey, Dave, are you back there? Yeah, let's do the commercial break now, and then we'll come back with Dennis and Joe and Seaside and whoever else wants to call 479-1080 before the end of the program in 15 minutes. Take it away, Dave.
I have a job to be done. It may not seem like a big job to some, but I built this business from the ground up. It's a big deal to me. That's why I went with Granite Construction for my parking lot, retaining walls, and site development. They delivered value and got the work done on time and on budget. That's covering my bottom line.
We have a job to be done. This is our home, and we wanted quality workmanship. We're talking curb appeal. It has to be beautiful. Professional and friendly expertise was what we got from Granite Construction. They've got the people and resources, and they got our job done right away.
This big project at work is important and a big reflection on me. I can't lay awake at night wondering how this job will go, so I called Granite Construction. Granite's people are backed by a culture of workmanship, safety, and quality that I just trust. And they have their own local sources for materials. Take no chances. Go with the best. That's my motto. That's project peace of mind. Call 1-800-GRANITE. What can Granite build for you?
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric at 425-1407. That's 425-1407.
When you get home from a vacation, do you need another vacation to recover? You know what I mean. Too much food and traveling, and somehow we all forget our healthy habits. Inconvenient but true. Our health needs don't take vacations, but it can be a real pain to pack and mix and refrigerate liquid supplements. Yongevity has the solution, anti-aging premium packs. All the essential nutrients in convenient packets that you can just throw into your bag. No refrigeration required. So go on, have a great trip. Your commitment to good health can come along. For more information about this and all the Yongevity products, and the Easy Yongevity Home Business, call me, Sophie Winnick, at 335-3216, 335-3216, or you can email me at tastyvitamins@yahoo.com, or now check out vitamingoddess.com. So easy. Have fun and take care.
Okay, let's get ready for kindergarten. Backpack?
Yep.
Jacket?
Yep.
Dental appointment?
Mommy, how's it going to help me get ready for school?
I want to make sure you don't have any cavities.
Hi, I'm Assemblymember John Laird, and like you, I believe your child's health is important. That's why the new dental checkup requirement for children entering kindergarten is important, so that all children can be ready to learn. Parents, get more information at CDA.org or call 800-CDA-SMILE.
Paid for by the California Dental Association.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I guess, you know, maybe we should have some bumper music. It'd be fine to have some bumper music here so we're not caught, you know, with dead air here like I just was here. It's my fault. I accept full responsibility. All right. Joe in Seaside, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. You're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Here's your guest. Using racial politics again?
Which guest?
I'm not sure which one it was, but it was about maybe 7 minutes ago when he said those people from Ireland and those people from wherever.
I was being sarcastic. That's my people. I'm saying, you know, send them back to Oklahoma, the Okies, or send them back to Ireland. 100 years ago, those were the immigrants that weren't hired. Irish need not apply. Yeah, no, I was being sarcastic, making a joke about. America's...
Well, I'm glad that you're sarcastic, man. Now, I'll be sarcastic myself. You know, it was a little bit different when you come from Ireland, you know. Because you didn't have a government that was sponsoring corruption on a grand scale, man. And you also didn't have systemic fraud. And man, you know, we didn't live then, but we live now. Now, are you a damn fool? Or are you going to change the system? I know you're an attorney, and attorneys always come out on top. But you know, us little folks, we're getting reamed, and we're getting tired of it.
Are you one of the little people? Is that what you're saying?
I'm so small you can't see me. I'm going to crawl in the back of your neck and give you the come hither if you don't, if you keep using that. Get sarcasm. Get the attorneys think that they're so much smarter than all of us little folks. Yeah, I got something else to tell you, man.
And now you're going to go and have yourself a little tank.
A wee dram.
Got me shillelagh held back and I'll ram you through. Listen now. Okay. What was the last thing you talked? Oh, there it was. Yeah, it was amnesty. Oh, that's really going to solve something. You wouldn't have to be Catholic now, would you?
No, I'm not. But my point is that I want respect. Listen, I want respect for the law. I want people to obey the law. I want the man who shows up, a woman who shows up on the job, to be treated fairly, not abused. I want him to be paid fair and treated right. I want him to be proud with their work. I want people to work hard and be proud of it. I've dug ditches, and my father did as well. I mean, you know, this is getting lost in this. It's all becoming a big scam.
Spoken like a true attorney. Let me tell you something, man. I'm a sinner myself, but I do go to Catholic Church. Now, you said that before they had a system and they did some. Oh, I know. It was President Reagan. He was an Irishman, too. And he did one.
This sounds like a Lucky Charms commercial. I have no idea what you're talking about now, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell you, man. You said Reagan didn't build the wall. But you said he did one thing right. But he didn't build the wall, so he did one thing wrong. But you want us to do two things wrong. So you want to be twice as bad as a man who screwed up. You see where you're going?
Okay. What would you suggest we do with the... Listen, what would you do with about whatever 11 to 12 million estimated people who live here who don't have proper legal status?
I won't go making it worse. By legalizing and rewarding, don't you understand?
I understand that very carefully. Bad conduct should not be rewarded. That's the problem. That's what we're trying to deal with.
But that's not what you said 5 minutes ago.
I said ultimately they should be made legal. How do you do that? Do you make them pay a fine? Do you make them wait longer? Do you throw them out? So the kids are legal. That's another thing. If they're born here, they're citizens, which is another wacky law, but that's the law.
Sir, I'm not an attorney, and I know when you're an attorney, you're never supposed to ask a question that you don't know the answer to. But I'm going to take a chance. You wouldn't happen to be Democrat now, would you?
I belong to no organized political party.
You've already
I'm a Democrat.
You're a Democrat.
Said Will Rogers.
How did I know that? Now, how did I know?
I don't know.
You're
counting your pot of gold. I think you've had a wee dram this morning, I think. Already, go ahead.
Well, this is a wonderful call. But we need to have time for Richard and Salinas, who has a solution for the entire mess.
I got one more thing, though, to say.
Okay.
What you're trying to do by giving them amnesty is the same problem that they're having in Palestine and Israel. You see, if you encourage law-breaking and terrorism over there, all you're doing is making it worse.
You're very critical and very eloquent, but what's your solution? I ask you, what do you do with 11 million people here who go to work? Let me finish. Most of them get up in the morning, go to work. Most of them, you know, pay taxes, complain about it. Many of them, not all, but most. What are you going to do with them? You tell me.
Well, but the white folks don't work now, do they? Now, you're not a racist now, are you? No. It's only your friends, the ones you probably make money off of. No, you got no iron in the fire there, do you? How much money are you making on
Joe, MZ, I have this urge to buy Lucky Charms. I can't figure out what he said.
I didn't know that Joe was Jewish. And the reason I think he's Jewish is because he always answers questions with questions.
You know what?
Jews always answer questions. Why do Jews always answer questions with questions?
Asking me already?
Why shouldn't
they? Michael, why not?
Yeah, why shouldn't they?
You know, the Lord...
Why shouldn't they? It's not why not.
The Lord himself answered questions with questions to flesh out the charlatans, man.
Okay, Joe, thanks a million for your call.
Bye-bye.
Best call of the day. Here comes Richard N. Salinas. Not Richard N. Watson, but Richard N. Salinas has a solution for the mess. What's your solution, Richard?
Well, it seems that the whole system, everything we're dealing with is all about everybody lying to get some kind of monetary gain.
Okay.
Whether it's from the president all the way down to the next illegal across the border tonight.
Yeah.
They're all breaking the law and lying about it. whether it's the employee lying about hiring illegals or so forth, you know, why don't we just pass one law that says if you lie and there's monetary gain involved, you go to jail for a minimum of 1 year. Depending on how much the monetary gain was, you could have more of a sentence.
You know,
in other words, you can't lie to your wife and go to jail, but you can lie if there's monetary gain involved, something like that.
Richard and Salinas could have a point there.
I don't think
we got everybody. Everybody's trapped up and down the system that way. We can nail everybody that's lying about everything because we're not willing to solve the problems. If Congress is willing to not even enforce the laws that are there, it's systemic all the way down. The illegal alien says, hey, I don't care. You know,
some people say we already started out with 10 laws. One of them was thou shalt not lie.
Yeah, 10 Commandments sounds like a good package of laws to pass, actually.
Well, okay. But, thank you for bringing that up. I will scratch my head on that and make a determination next week. David in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Hey, morning. You know, I was kind of interested in this from a couple of different angles. Of course, we got tax day coming up here in just a few days. And the whole idea of having some honest accounting, the original principle in 1776 was that we get to elect some people who are honest and that they're going to be spending our money. And we have to have some ability to find out whether or not that money is being spent honestly. So, you know, obviously, if we're not getting our money's worth, then that's a danger not only to us, but it's a danger to society. And so I'm very much interested in this principle of taxation with representation. And when
taxation with representation ain't so hot either.
Beg pardon?
Taxation with representation ain't so hot either.
Well, when we have the ability, you know, we got cheated back, back in about 1913, we got cheated when they limited Congress to only 435 members. Because when the Constitution was written, we the people would get a new congressman every 60,000 people. And so as the population got bigger, Congress got bigger. So
but as long as it's proportionate, what's the point? I mean, as the congressman represents roughly the same amount of people.
Well, you get more control of your local money. But when you end up with a congressman that's running 60,000 people, then it becomes easier to go down to their office and talk to them and say, hey, we need something for the schools here. We need to fix this. We need to get some money for that. We need to spend our money this way or that.
What's your local school district's annual budget? One of the problems is that when you get too much local control, nobody knows what's going on at all. It's too hard to keep up, and nobody does. It's a lot easier if you have one theory is if you have a central accounting, everybody can focus on that. You know what's going on better. If it's too scattered, nobody knows what's going on at all. I mean, who's your local state assemblyman? Most people don't even know.
Right, but I'm talking about U.S. Congress.
Okay.
You know, at least in the state legislature, we've got expanding, I believe we've got it set up so that we have expanding numbers. But in the U.S. Congress, we are limited to 435. Wait. And so where it went from 60,000 in 1913, it got up to, you know, we're at almost 750,000 now. So it's gone up.
Let me get this straight. You want to have more members of Congress in Washington running around?
Absolutely, because if you look
there's
at
a dream come
it, you
true.
Could bribe, you could bribe a congressman
David,
20 years ago,
David,
and your dollar would go farther by that bribe.
Why am I not surprised that you're calling from San Francisco?
Well, are you inferring that to get better representation is a bad idea? You think that's
no,
bad
no,
idea
I
to get
no,
more
no, I think it, I don't think more representation is going to lead to better representation, but apparently you think that.
Well, I just want to
clearly
go ahead, Gil. Quick,
yeah.
we've got to leave.
California, the California state senator represents more people than a California congressman. Period. There are 40 members in the Senate. There are 80 members in the Assembly, and that hasn't changed in my lifetime.
California has an interesting system. You know, like the U.S. Congress, it's two senators per state, no matter how many's there. In California, they divide it into 40 and 80 roughly equal
okay.
districts.
We thank David in San Francisco for his call. Unfortunately, there's less than a minute left. Dean, you wanted to say something real fast about about a homeowner that should not hire somebody that's not a contractor.
Be careful. Homeowner workers' comp, as bad as it is a good thing. If you want to have somebody come trim your tree in your backyard, be careful. Make sure that you don't just go get the guy to trim the tree. If he gets hurt, you'll find out what happens when you don't have workers' comp. You can get workers' comp even if you have one employee for a one-shot job. You should get workers' comp. It's not that expensive for a one-shot job, and can be very expensive if you don't have it.
Hey, I think that's it for the program. I want to thank Bob Sams, Dean Sutton, Gil Stein, and all the callers for participating in this Saturday special. I think it was a pretty lively one. Tune in next week and find out what happens then. Okay, so here. That's all, folks. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler, another American in space, this one paying big bucks for the ride.
T-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Engine ignition.
Preliminary intermediate.
And liftoff. Liftoff of the Soyuz rocket transporting new residents to the International Space Station.
Mission Control in Houston, the crew lifting off from Kazakhstan, includes Microsoft Word inventor Charles Simonyi, the billionaire paying more than $20 million for his 13-day trip. The software developer's close friend Martha Stewart there to see him off, even packing some gourmet snacks for space. Travelers here on Earth heading to the Holy Land for Easter Sunday.
This is a very special Easter. In fact, it's the first time that all major Christian faiths, from Catholics to Coptics to the Orthodox, will be celebrating Easter on the same Easter Sunday. It only happens once every 4 years.
Fox's Rena Ninen in Jerusalem, where Jews are also celebrating the Passover holiday. Greek tourism officials charging the captain of that cruise ship, which sank on Thursday, with negligence. Greek television reporting 5 others also facing charges. The Sea Diamond hit some rocks off the island of Santorini. A French tourist and his teenage daughter still missing. The White House insisting the CIA had no involvement in the abduction and detention of an Iranian diplomat captured in Baghdad 2 months ago and freed on Tuesday, calling those charges Iranian propaganda. In the president's weekly radio address,
our men and women in uniform deserve the gratitude of every American. And from their elected leaders, they deserve something more. The funds, resources, and equipment they need to do their jobs.
The president criticizing Democrats for attaching a troop withdrawal timeline for Iraq funding bills. Party chair Howard Dean assuring Americans troops will have the money they need. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Farron Balance.